You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. It's Dwayne.
Hello.
And it's me, Brian, because Niall is on holiday. Righty-ho. Tonight's episode is episode 37, The King of Kings. Or just King of Kings. There's no the in front of it. Do apologise to King of Kings, whoever that King of King may be. Turns out it's not Diavolo.
Well, much like other people in shows we watch, he assumed he was the main character, but we know better.
Right, Dwayne, tell us what happens at the start of this, because I've forgotten.
Okay, the very start? Okay, so, it catches us up, because it has to catch us up to where the last episode left off, which is Trish in Mista's body, having been punched through the sternum and sent flying in the direction of the arrow, where Mista in Trish's body is trying to catch the arrow, but obviously Diavolo wants to get there first and has to punch the body he's currently inhabiting, hosting. No, he's not the host. Infecting, whatever the hell. He's to fly in that direction to catch the arrow, and it's all coming up Diavolo. He's got it. He's going to win. He's going to get that arrow. Oh, but it's initially seems to be stabbing through his own hand, but it's sort of like just falling through his hand. Like he's like becoming intangible or something like that. His stand is becoming intangible, rather. I think that's basically the start of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm. I'm trying to remember how things progress in craziness, because there's a bunch of weird stuff happening, like weird mutant bugs flying around.
Well, people's souls start going back to their original bodies.
Yeah, everyone's soul starts falling out because, oh god, fucking back and forth and back and forth. Okay, we have Bruno in Diavolo's body, who's like, well, you showed me the way to fucking defeat Chariot Requiem. Or they call it Requiem Chariot. I forget which way the order goes. But anyway, so he's going to... But you didn't utterly destroy the tiny sun or whatever the fuck is Requiem behind your own head. So he's going to destroy it by covering it in zippers and completely zipping it apart to turn off the entire chariot thing. That's why people's souls are returning to their bodies, because he's going to defeat it once and for all. And obviously he can't grab the arrow if his soul and stand is currently being pulled out of the body he's currently in.
But yeah.
It's an extreme move for like a very delayed tactic, moving him a few feet away from the arrow.
And he tries to convince Bruno that, no, I'm the one who deserves the arrow. Look at me. Look at this guy.
No, Bruno, my buddy, my pal. You gotta understand. I'm the most deserving. Come on, buddy. Yeah, it's like a real desperate plea, is like to try and get Bruno on his side right at the end, but didn't really work out.
Yeah, and then Bruno says goodbye to Giorno.
Say goodbye to the lads for me. He gets a really long, really drawn out, just trying to wrench that emotion out of me. goodbye. All right. Yeah. And like, you know, goes into the clouds, becomes the clouds, like ascending to heaven, like fucking angels, cherubs come down to fucking bring him because he's such a good boy. I did enjoy it. Yeah.
I think that is the biggest, farewell I think a dead guy's got, hasn't it, so far?
Well, I mean, like, I think they really have to hammer home that this guy is dead, and it's sad because he's been dead the entire time. And it's like, well, if he's been dead the entire time, surely he'll be fine. It's like, no, he's actually dead now. He's like ascending to heaven. It's done. It's all over for Bruno.
Then people end up back in their bodies because Requiem's destroyed.
Yeah.
We get the, the man and his dog, the baby and their mum.
Yeah, because I did like the man and the dog, and it's kind of like, you know, he's like, oh, thank God, I couldn't comfort you when I was in your body because I was a dog.
And Giorno's got the arrow. Trish warns them that he's planning on, that Diavolo is planning on running away.
And Diavolo was thinking, I was like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I can always like make it back later on because I got the best powers. I got the cheapest power. I can come back. And then he hears Trish going like, yeah, he's going to run away because he's a massive fucking.
He should have paid attention to the opening credits that they've got sound effects in, which never bodes well for the villain of the piece.
That's true, actually. Yeah. It's a good indicator. But yeah, basically, and he says it out loud. It's like, if it wasn't for my daughter calling me a motherfucker, I wouldn't have come over here and seen the future where I totally fucking win. So I know I've got it in the bag. Yes.
Even though Giorno stabs, gold experience with the arrow, but it seems to just damage gold experience. He doesn't evolve.
It just stabs right through Giorno, and it's just, and Diavolo's like, ah, it's obviously because of that guy Polnareff said, the arrow chooses worthy people, and I'm obviously the most worthy because I'm fucking great, like.
And then he punches, God Experience while continuing to boast about how powerful he is and how weak, Giorno is.
Just like, do you want this guy to get his, like, enough? We really have to hammer home that this guy's a real piece of shit. You're going to want to see him get his ass kicked.
Tries to grab the arrowhead, but the arrowhead runs away from him.
Yes.
And then as he's falling, he notices there's an eye behind the hole that he just punched in Gold Experience's head. And Trish points it out so everyone else can see it as well. And then the arrow goes up the arm of Gold Experience. Works its way to the forehead, casts off the shell of God Experience, and it's now God Experience Requiem. A slightly worse character design.
I mean, the eyes are pretty freaky. I do like that about it. I think it might be the horns and something like that it's grown from the arrow and shit. Yeah. But it's reminding me of one of the middle forms of Frieza, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or is it, is Koichi's explicitly Frieza or Cell? I can't remember which.
I feel like it was Cell because it has the... Wait, didn't one of the forms have the little beak that Cell had?
Yeah, you might be right, yes. So yeah, this.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which one had the beak, but I can't remember. But one of them definitely had a big long tail, so.
Yeah, and the fact that since then, Frieza has also gone gold makes it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
But that might be the influence going in the opposite direction.
yeah, could be. But yeah, like the only thing I'd say about like original Gold Experience design is I think it's more complete, but for me, it always looked like he was wearing a bike helmet.
Yeah, well, a lot of the guys in this part look like they're wearing bike helmets.
That's true, actually, yeah. It's like a running theme in Italian stands, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody else he reminds me of, and I can't think what it is. Never mind. Yes. And now it's Giorno's turn. The shoe's on the other foot. It's his turn to make speeches. And says to Diavolo, are your actions born of truth? Or are they merely superficial? Further.
Because I'm going to reveal that shit, yeah.
Obviously, also plays into his pride. It's like, because he believes that his actions are born of truth.
And it's also like he's like galvanized from Bruno kind of handing it off to him. And Bruno saying, is like, you're the one who inspired me, who caused me to evolve and become like, gave me the chance to be a better person. So I was just living dead before I met you, and even after I met you and I was the living dead, I was living my true self, that kind of way. Giorno's like really pissed right now. It's good, but no one comments on the fact that he's floating in midair several feet off the ground. That's like, that's a different thing.
That's a different part. The half of it. And the thing which happens shortly, nobody can comment on because nobody knows it happened.
Two people know it happened, and one of them is not even a person.
That's true. So, yes. Yeah. Mr. fires some bullets off, and then King Crimson stops time again. He does his prediction. He uses like the gunshots to go through. Is it through his hand and splatter blood in Giorno's face?
Because
that's how the scorpions get on him. with.
Because I think Giorno flicks a rock at him and it actually punches through his hand, but he can only barely, like, he could predict it, but he could barely deflect it. That kind of thing. So it's like, okay, my power doesn't work 100% on this new gold experience, but if I throw my blood in his eyes, he won't be able to see jack shit. And that way I'll be able to punch a hole in them. My old classic trick. Run up, yes. Stop time, rewind it, and edit it so I can punch them through the chest.
And he sees his movements, he does his thing, and then it has no effect. And then the stand talks to him and says, even Giorno doesn't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, the kind of creepiness of it's like, yeah, like, Giorno's not here right now. You're talking to gold experience, motherfucker.
Rewind everything you just said you're gonna do.
Yeah, and like, the visuals on that were really nice, because initially him going like, wait a minute, how come shit isn't going by? And he sees like a wasp or whatever flying backwards. He's like, well, that's not normal. And then he kind of turns around and keeps seeing himself behind himself. There was, new version.
It's the fact it seems to allow the things he did to still happen, because the blood splatter has to happen for then Gold Experience Requiem to turn that blood splatter back, use its powers on the blood splatter, and then send it back to him as it rewinds the time. So yes, it is very, it is even stranger than King Crimson's power.
So like, yeah, he's basically like doing a version of King Crimson, but with gold experience. So yeah, like you said, he's using the blood in order to turn the blood back into, change it between forms like gold experience has been doing, but to actually put it back where it was supposed to be in time.
Yes.
Yeah, which is, it's pretty out there, but I did like that visual of him kind of turning around and looking at himself. I did try and do that to some players in a campaign I ran once. It was very confusing, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but I might have just confused them. But it reminds me, there's a reboot of Dial H for Hero like a few years back, and there was a guy, I think his name was like the Centipede, and he could basically rewind time, but like only in the, like, him rewinding time would just be several different versions of him, like kind of way. There would literally like be a line of the same guy, like a centipede kind of thing. As it was reminding me of that kind of visual, just really good trippy stuff. And I mean, like really good trippy, logic as well, where you're like, I'm not 100% on what's happening here, but it's pretty cool.
I'm going to guess we get the explanation. I was going to say next week, but that is not true.
Yeah.
3 weeks time.
3 weeks now. Oh, God damn it. Really?
Well, from when this aired. So yeah, 26th of July.
I thought it was just going to be the 2 weeks, and I was like, oh, I can just about manage 2 weeks, but okay, fine.
And we'll have to it'll be an hour.
Okay.
So yes, and then it ends with the powers reversing, and God Experience Requiem, muttering, Dear Volo. As Stevie Valley is just standing around going, I'm still where I was. Nothing's happened. And he continues to think about his premonition and not act on the fact that Giorno's charging towards him.
He's trying to think about how he saw the future would turn out in his edit, yes, and not thinking about how the fact that time has been rewinded and that edit currently isn't fucking happening or anything leading up to it. And you're getting your head kicked in right now.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You gotta live in the moment, man.
I like the fact that the power is super weird and...
Yes, those are the best powers, yeah.
And I kind of hope that we get some more Diavolo trying to think his way around it and not managing. But at the same time, we'll be happy if it's just he gets bludgeoned to death at the start of the next episode.
Yeah. The only problem is it's just going to be such a long wait for it, you know?
Yes, yeah. Particularly if it's not much of a fight, and then the rest of it is all that stuff Niall's talking about of the prologue, the epilogue, and then the prologue to the entire thing that we never saw.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking they could do is maybe they'll do a longer setup to Stone Ocean or something. That'd be nice, but I'm not expecting it.
No, I wouldn't expect it either, because there's not like the nice lead-in that there was with 2 and 3. You haven't got the same character carrying over, really, because it's...
No, but they did the same to... did they do the same in... They didn't do the same in Part 4, did they? Yeah.
No, I don't think they did.
No, you're right.
Yeah, because the only carryover will be Jotaro.
Yeah, and he's been kind of absent except for one phone call in the show so far.
And some reminiscing on Paul Bref's part.
That's true, yeah.
Righty-ho, that was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. What was next time's episode called? It was called... He goes back in time himself, trying to find it out. Gold Experience Requiem.
Okay.
Okay, so apparently this tape took us to 387, so there is only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 chapters left.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, like, if they're covering that in the span of what should be about 3 episodes. Definitely.
It would just be 2 more episodes. Just an hour.
In 2 episodes.
Yeah. Because then it'll take you to 39. So I guess there was some production reasons they had to shove those recap episodes in. Rather than... Because I thought when they're doing them, I thought, oh, it's because they haven't got enough content to fill 3 seasons worth of episodes.
Yeah.
But no, it's still 3 seasons worth of episodes. They just didn't get it in time.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's a shorter gap than the last episode of Club Blockade Battlefront. Which was so long, I still haven't watched it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, even though we watched season 2, because it had no bearing on season 2, apart from that one cameo.
Yeah. More so like where the characters are at, but it's focusing on different plots in season 2, yeah.
Righty-ho, that was Let's Go JoJo. Now it's time for the show within a show. Let's Go, which of course will be the show next week because there's no JoJo to talk about.
I know. I hate like having to like stop doing the JoJo, but what can you do? I stop doing the JoJo for a long enough time and then redo it and then have to stop it for a much longer fucking period of time. Oh, well.
And so a bunch of new stuff, which meant Brian forgot to watch some of the things he said he was going to watch. Right, okay, first up, this is the reason why I forgot, because I forgot to watch this to the last minute, and then I watched this instead of the 2 shorts I was going to watch.
Oops.
One Punch Man, Season 2, Episode 12, Cleaning Up the Disciples' Mess. In which we get the end of the Garo fight, which is inconclusive.
Yeah, like, it seemed like he was gonna lose, but it wasn't definitive, cause, like, everyone, like, all the monsters and everyone else is kind of going like, hey, stop it, come on.
And we also get possibly the worst sequences of the entire season, his flashback sequences with the CGI kids.
Wavy kids? Does he just not have does he have that thing where you can't remember faces?
I'd have to go back and check the chapters. I think they had faces in the chapters.
Really? Because he mentions one of them as like, oh yeah, that was that specific guy, named guy. And I'm just like, well, why does he look like a horrible ghost like everyone else in your memory?
But then he gets taken away by, so it's basically Bang wants to like defeat him properly. We get an idea that, and I like the background because it kind of explains why he's not killing the heroes is because he's very much, the popular kids used to force him to pretend to be the monsters, whatever.
If you're such a big fan of monsters, you can be the fall guy in all our games. And by fall guy, I mean, they're actually fucking beating up this kid.
Yeah. And it's the sense that he's still basically playing being a monster.
Yeah. He wants to show that he's tougher than the heroes and that monsters, specifically what his idea of a monster, is better than what he sees as the heroes, which he might be right in some regards, but not entirely. But yeah, he doesn't plan on killing anyone. And even what's the guy called? He's not called Phoenix Man or something, is he?
Yeah, I think he is, yes.
Okay, it was something silly like that, but I didn't think I had
it. I take it back, they were just black silhouettes in the in the comic.
That's fair enough then.
Insane chapter, which is 146 pages long.
Jesus. So they really have to cram that in, cut that down. But he kind of says, it's like, oh, Garo, your end game is really bad or whatever. You don't finish off the heroes, dude. Come on. You gotta double tap kind of thing. Garo, obviously, that's not his MO. That's not why he's doing what he's doing.
This is pretty much this episode is pretty much just chapter 82. Those 146 pages.
Wow. Okay.
Because even the stuff which happens at the end with the centipede boy from a few episodes earlier.
Choropede or whatever. Yeah. I can't think of his name. Yeah.
And so we get, it's more of Genos going, I've got to live up to my master. I've got to take this guy down. Don't need my master's help.
I do like the contrast between that and Garo, because Garo's there, like, getting his shit kicked in by his master, and even though he's got some new moves, some new dog-based moves, his master's like, hey, where'd you learn that? His brother, Bang and...
Bomb.
Not Bang and... Bang and Bomb. It's like, Boom is a different thing. Bomb is, like, fighting him as well, and it's kind of like Garo, he already couldn't beat Bang, so he's not going to beat Bang again. And even if he could run past them, he knows that the demon cyborg would come get him. So he's kind of like, I just got to fucking survive this, whereas Genos is still the thing. I was like, I must take all the sacrifice and be the best. And it's a really interesting contrast between them as students, I suppose.
Yeah, and the other two are rescuing the other heroes who Garo had been fighting because they're risking being crushed under Earth as this giant centipede emerges.
Yeah, just falling into cracks and falling debris, that kind of thing.
And Phoenix Man's explaining, we're Monster Association, we're careful. We're sending monsters against people who they can beat. It's like, those two guys, they don't just even recognize Bomb, does he? He just says,
Bang's he says the two artist. Heroes.
Yeah. Bang's a martial artist, so he can't use his martial arts skills against something that big.
Yeah, they were specifically sending guys against, like, they'd send someone immune to electricity against the electricity guy, that kind of way.
And it's like, who is the people they say? The only people who stand a chance is Machine Knight, the terrible
King.
Tornado, the strongest human, King, and Blast, who...
Blast, who the centipede has a vendetta against, that's why he joined up with them, yeah.
And that's what King's ploy is he's found out what will attract this creature's attention.
Yeah, he actually used his little phone to get in contact with the Hero Association and goes like, so what's the deal with this giant centipede guy? And yeah, I did like that their information gathering thing is like, I told King, it's like about his secret weakness, and King had some kind of plan, and then I heard the King engine going.
And yeah, basically the plan is for them to shout on a megaphone. He's going to shout on a megaphone, hey, Blast's over here, come and get him.
And then when the centipede comes over, Saitama, you jump out and punch him.
And
this is after Genos does his big sacrifice thing where he, like, gets his leg bit off, but he still... And he gets bit in half or something, but
he gets sliced off,
transforms
point,
back together.
He can reattach himself now. He's, like...
I guess that happens enough of him that you're really going to have modular parts at this stage. But yeah, jumping inside the centipede and putting a huge explosion all the way through him... just caused him to shed his skin and get a new thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, Saitama eventually jumps out at the last second and, does that in the one punch as he's known to do. Which he's like, I did like the kind of contrast of, it was like, yeah, generally the one punch thing, it isn't satisfying. But for Saitama in this case, it was like, oh, that felt good because I was getting so frustrated at that video game.
Has he got the bit where he asks at the end what he lacks?
Yes.
Yes. And did it also have King going, no, don't listen to him?
Yes. Yeah, it did have that bit as well. I'm not sure it came off as well, but yeah, it was still pretty funny. Because Saitama's advice is not great.
Yeah. And then Garo passes out and Phoenix Man tells them that they're off to see Orochi. The end. What a strange place to end, except if you know the redrawing of the comic hasn't even got to the scene yet, but there's a scene much later on which made the stuff at the end of this episode made me reach for my chin and go,
It changes the context?
Yes, it changes the context. Well, no, it echoes something which is much more explicitly said later on.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But they haven't even got to it in the redrawing yet. So I believe they're still in the Monster Association base in the redraw.
It seems like that's supposed to be the big end game, but who fucking knows?
It's not, though.
Okay.
No, it's just a step on the way. It's just one that, because he's making all the fight scenes last a lot longer, it's taken a lot longer to get there.
I mean, like, I assume the fight scenes are red, so they're worth it.
Yeah, but normally they're just like one chapter in the original comic.
Because they're just for comedy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not for comedy, but he's getting to these. But he isn't the perfectionist that Murata is in terms of.
Right, yeah. He's more concerned with getting the story, the jokes, the beats out rather than.
So like the Child Emperor Phoenix Man fight is a big example, is because in the comic he has a giant robot, and the new comic has a giant robot. You never had that in the original comic.
Because it'd be cool to see a giant robot fight right now. Yes.
Kind of looks like the Planet With one. And it did come, those chapters did drop after the Planet With, so it may have been the inspiration on the giant robot.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, there's worse things to be inspired by. Planet Myth was very good. It was certainly better than One Punch Man Season 2. I think the highlight was last week's episode, not this week's episode of the entire run. I think the story's fine, and yeah, this seems like a weak ending because we've got the thing where Zombie Man went off following that armored gorilla.
Didn't go anywhere. Yeah.
Did not go anywhere at all.
I gotta check this guy out. It's like, what's your deal, Zombie Man? I'm not gonna fucking explain it. Don't have time. End of show.
So yes, you'll have to wait to season 3 to find out what that is.
Do you think the embers of the fandom will have died down by that stage, or at least the people who watch the anime rather than the comic? I mean,
yeah, maybe. Unless there's like they change the studio again or change direction again. And
I mean, like they could, yeah.
They put out a banging trailer. Yeah, it's the very next chapter that Zombie Man arrives outside of where Armored Gorilla is. He doesn't go in the building, I don't think, in the next chapter, but he's outside the building.
I thought he, like, the Armored Gorilla just lives in, like, an apartment or something.
Yeah, I think, well, I can't remember. Had they opened the restaurant yet?
I don't know. I remember a very domestic scene with them, but I don't remember a restaurant.
I believe they've opened a restaurant. Him and the mad scientist.
Awesome.
So I assume that will be in episode 1 of season 3.
I look forward to it whenever it comes out.
Or it'll be on an OVA somewhere. But no, the OVAs, they tend to put, those are marquee stories, don't they? Rather than the, any of the canon.
Yeah, okay.
Material. Oh well, let's move on to something I forgot to watch. Wacky TV Na Na Na, second season, episode 13, Arrival, Phantoms of the It feels like there should be another N in there. Another Na. Banana Gawa.
Yeah, I knew. Banana, you know, it's hard to fucking say. Bananagawa Shogunate.
What happened in these 3 minutes, Dwayne?
Oh, fucking, I'll try and fly through it. Right, so they arrive in, the past, and they assume, oh, fuck, we must have went through a time tunnel, and then they're like, oh, no, we're actually down the road in that theme park that's down the road from the hill. And they're just like, oh, so I guess the gold or the treasure is buried underneath this theme park. And then four guys from history who I've forgotten all their names, show up and they're like, oh, that's that famous guy. That's this famous guy, that kind of thing. So they assume that they're actors here to do like a performance, like a fake swordplay kind of thing. And your man starts directing them because he's a big TV time director. And he's like being a real dick, like hitting them with that little megaphone thing that those guys carry and like not even doing good direction, like really making a hams of it. But then the boss calls them up during their direction and is like, hey, that's not the theme park, you guys. That's a secret underground, like huge cavern that was dug up. They built a castle in it to protect the treasure, and the treasure is built under that castle. Those guys are, I guess, automata, fucking automatons that will kill you at the slightest provocation. And they all start popping blades and shit out. And that's where we left off.
Curry Circus after all.
No, I fucking couldn't. But... yeah, I think that covers it. I probably took more time than the episode did to explain that.
Yeah, I've been skipping through it, yes. And it's Goemon is like one of the named guys.
That's it. Yeah. Couldn't think of any of the names, though. But yeah, obviously, naming specifics.
Yeah, I think some of them are just like a general type.
Yeah, yeah, he's playing obviously this kind of samurai, he's playing that kind of thing. Yeah, I get the dealio, but like, it's just more so the ad-libbed fun dialogue in this thing is just him being a real fucking dick about directing, which is good. It's fun stuff.
Excellent. Moving on to USB sheet. Here we go. Dr. Stone, episode 1, Stone World, in which we meet, I read it every week. What the bloody hell's his name?
Senku. You're gonna have to tell me.
Is it Senku? Right. Is that the guy's name?
The guy with the hair like Leek, or?
Yeah, Senku. Okay, yes. Oh, right, good job, Brian. It's very warm here. Again. so, yes, we start off with Senku and his mate Taiju. He tries to trick him to drink a...
He's saying, I'm going to confess to that girl I really fancy. And it's like, well, then you should drink this... Like, he says it's basically a love potion to explain it to the dum-dum, but it's kind of like it has chemical properties that release pheromones and shit like that. But it was actually ethanol or petrol or something,
was it? Yes.
Okay, it was just straight up gasoline. Okay.
But he knew he was 10,000% sure...
That's his catchphrase, that his friend wouldn't do that.
He wouldn't do that.
He was just fucking with him. He knows the guy very well. And he seems to get on very well with him, which is weird because I don't understand their friendship. But I'm guessing I will as it goes on.
Nope. do not get too attached to Taiju.
Oh,
because,
no.
As you can tell from the opening credits, which is the last thing you see, it quite makes it clear that an entirely different character you've not met yet is the second lead of this show.
Yeah, I got that. There's a whole load of fucking people in this that I have not seen yet.
don't worry about him, but as I say,
you may be very worried.
His screen time will be limited.
Oh, okay, that's pretty. He seems fun.
Like I said, well, I've said before on Twitter, it's like the opening arc of Bleach, where you meet all his school friends.
And they're not the main characters.
A lot of them don't really have much to do throughout the rest of the series.
Even though you keep giving them superpowers and shit, it's just like,
even the ones you gave superpowers to.
And even the ones you gave upgrades to their superpowers, it's like, well, yeah, but this is not in the main plot. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Just figuring out the story as you go. That's fine.
Yeah. It's all those other people who you see in the credits are much more important.
Okay. Assume I will grow to love them as well.
So, yes, Taiju's off to see, confess to his friend, Yuzu Riha, that he's in love with her, but then there's a strange light appears in the sky, and he pushes her against a tree, to protect her.
And stands in the way of this oncoming light, yeah.
And the light petrifies every human on Earth.
I mean, like, it does open with the, and that was the day every human on Earth turned to stone, just in case you were like, wait a minute, this school time drama is going to be interrupted by this?
Then we have, what is it, about, around about 3,000 years... Plus.
Oh, yeah, he says it specifically, like 3,700 odd years or something like that.
Yeah, because, and we kind of get like a little montage of the,
Well, the passage of time and, his awakening, I guess?
Yes, remnants of human civilization, as nature consumes it all.
So the thing I knew this as the premise for the show. I really have no idea a lot of where it's going, but I didn't realize you were fucking conscious the entire goddamn time.
Well, I
holy
think
shit.
You can try and stay conscious.
Yeah, but I mean, like, surely many people were driven insane by that, right?
Quite possibly, yes. But luckily, we've got a very simple-minded man and an incredibly intelligent genius. I say schoolboy, but they pretty much must be men by the end of this episode because it takes them a year to do something.
I mean, like, they'd still probably be in high school if they're...
I guess, but I don't know what year in high school they were to begin with.
No, like, if you're wondering about his beard, man, I had a beard in secondary school because there was no rule in the school against it.
That's what I loved, the fact, yes, because there was always one person.
That was me. Yeah, I got away with it.
who thought, well, the hormones are kicked in. It's time to grow a beard. Rub it in the face of everybody else.
Oh, dear.
No, I did love that. I did love the fact that he's grown a beard and then he convinces him to pluck his beard out with...
As montages go, that was pretty funny, yeah.
...shells.
Mm-hmm.
So, Taiju breaks free of his stone prison and finds himself somewhere where he wasn't when he left. He's in a cave with some sort of...
A lot of the people seem to have been washed away in floodwaters and various upheavals of Earth in the many thousands of years later. Yeah.
And his first thing is to go and find Yuzu Riha, who is still... The tree has basically grown around her, so she's protected by the tree.
Yeah, yeah. That actually worked out for him. Getting her to stand next to the tree.
And there's a note carved into the tree next to it, which says basically, go further up the river, bonehead, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And discovers Senku has also escaped the stone, and Senku counted, and he knows that today's date is October the 5th, 5738.
Yeah, he was keeping track of roughly how many times he kept losing consciousness, but he could estimate that because he had diarrhea or something, is the way he said it. Very odd way to put it, but yeah. All right.
And so what they're trying to do is, they're trying to like get something to, like a way to dilute the, chemical destones you?
Yeah, because your man woke up in a cave, and I can't remember, he says specifically, like, some of the chemicals involved. I'm not sure if they're trying to figure out the chemical, but
yeah,
it's something to do with the thing in Bakwano. I know that thing is, like, a miracle fucking chemical in a lot of ways for agriculture and shit, but yeah, I can't remember the name of the specific one.
Yeah, I think they may have changed some of the... They have said in an interview that they're going to... Some of the signs will be changed for the anime, so kids aren't tempted to... Copy.
Oh, is this like in fucking Breaking Bad where they had to change the recipe because people would just straight up be able to cook crystal meth otherwise?
There's no episode yet where they've had to require crystal meth, but there's...
Not yet, you say.
There's definitely
okay.
Dangerous things they do.
That's fair enough, yeah, yeah. I assume they're going to make it all kinds of fucking crazy chemicals. I imagine like fucking, nitroglycerin is going to be like early in the list of badass things to make.
In this episode, though, they make wine.
Yeah, because they need alcohol to... I've forgotten the fucking chemical in Baguano, but to distill that out of it properly. Yes. I love the fact that it's the idiot that goes it as well, because initially he's like, oh, fucking berries, can I eat these? They're like, oh, very sour. And I was kind of thinking, that's probably wine. That's probably grapes for wine. And then he literally fucking... That's his contribution to it. You idiot, you're a genius. You figured it out.
Also, the only thing apart from humans is it just swifts or is it all birds that got turned to stone as well?
You know what? I initially thought it was just birds, but I think you're right. It might be swifts. I feel like they all had like the kind of V-tail thing. Swifts or swallows, I'm not sure
which. Yeah, one of those. Because he's got like a, in his house, he's got like a shells full of them because that's what they're going
to
use.
That he's been experimenting on to see if, like, can I... Yeah, yeah, can I free these guys? You don't want to test that on a person in case it fucking dissolves through them. That would be bad.
And there's the good joke of them joking about, oh, this would be underage drinking. They're like, oh, I'm 3,700 years old. It's fine. And this is like the first occurrence of the, this is terrible, but it will do for, this would pass muster in the civilized world, but it'll do for us in our world.
And he kind of lays out the thing of it took mankind like whatever hundreds of thousands of years to get to the technological progress of the 2000s. But he wants to do it all within his lifetime, Basically get back to that fucking level, like take the shortcuts. You know how you got there. So it's just recreating all that stuff. Yeah.
And then you have a montage over the ending credits of them doing this over the year and then they turn the bird back to life. And then there are the opening credits. And you see all these characters you're going to meet in the coming weeks.
So I was kind of thinking, like, with this, and there's a couple of other things. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but is stuff like Minecraft and What's that one about farming? Sardew Valley and stuff. Does that really make people harken back to this time of hunter-gatherer and they want to see this kind of thing?
I think I want to see build up
from nothing.
I think you're right, yes. Particularly like
it's satisfying, so yeah, I totally get it.
The tech tree element of which will come in. As quite often he'll describe, well, we're going to make this, but to get to this, we need to get all these other scientific advances created first.
Yeah.
I was pleased with the montages, because there's going to be a lot of montages.
Man, if they're up to this fucking snuff, I'm happy enough, yeah.
Oh yeah, we should say, this is a fucking gorgeous looking show.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it does a bang up job. I don't know if I'd ever thought about what Senku sounded like. He sounded more sarcastic in the anime than he sounded in my head, reading the comic. Mm. Even though he's quite clearly sarcastic in the comic. I forgot it looked like took him a year to do the very first thing they do. And I'm like, I can't remember.
Well, you gotta learn ferment, man.
It is, but if anyone, by the end of the series, if everyone's kept track of the years, whether they'll have taken more years than a human body can have without aging.
Right, right.
Sort of the opposite of One Piece, where you think, how long have they been doing this? Oh, no, that was just like 6 months.
Yeah, well, technically they've only aged, in absolute terms, two years in the entire thing. Yeah, because of that time skip.
Whereas this is a time skip in its very first episode. Well, two time skips.
The first time skip's longer than the year-long one, sure.
Anyway, I love the comic, and this lived up to the comic, so.
Yeah, that was the other thing, like, I was gonna ask you, cause you're obviously much bigger fan and much into the comic, like, it's not, like what happened with Black Clover, it's like, yeah, you check in on that, you're still watching that to some extent, but it was kind of like a bit of a disappointment, whereas this seems to be really living up to it. They took the time to do it, right?
And I'd say this is a better adaptation than Promised Neverland's one was as well.
Okay, fair enough.
Though I think some of the Promised Neverland's ones were like some of the changes they made they kind of had to do for TV, much as this will have to do for the science.
Yeah, sure.
I'm looking forward to the future seasons of Promised Neverland when people turn off it in the same way they had on the comic.
Really? Have people like actually gone off it, or is this just like on the internet being angry?
People have gone off it, whereas I like it, but I like the later weirder stuff than how it started.
Yeah, I really need to catch up on it.
This week's latest chapter it suddenly goes to a flashback from 1,000 years previous and introduces a whole load of characters from that time.
Okay.
Yeah, because I saw the cover come up on the thumbnails on the Shonen Jump site. I thought, who are all those, like, fantasy party-looking people? Well, it turns out they're a bunch of fantasy party-looking people.
Okay.
Who had some sort of adventure 1,000 years earlier.
That I assume is relevant.
Yes. That's the sort of stuff which people aren't so fond of when they thought, oh, no, it's a nice survival thing in a orphanage.
I would have been disappointed if it just, like, I haven't gotten past the orphanage stuff, unfortunately, but I enjoyed the orphanage stuff, but if it was just that was the show, I was like, no, you need to let me outside those fucking walls and get them out there and see what the hell's going on.
I believe they're making Nitol, a solution of nitric acid and alcohol.
Yeah, okay.
That is what they say.
Yeah.
So it must be nitric acid, which was dripping out off the roof.
Oh, I think you're right, because the nitrogen in guano is like a miracle fertilizer and shit.
Because
nitrogenizing oil.
Same purpose as in Drifters for when they're making their...
Again, another fucking survival thing, working your way up. I know how to make gunpowder. That's more so breaking the fantasy world, like fucking metagaming, but yeah, yes. Similar kind of thing.
That's people entering a fantasy world with their own knowledge, not their character's knowledge.
Can you make Wall of Stone at an angle?
Next up on the list is... Let me get the right list out. It is Fruits Basket. tell me about Fruits Basket, Dwayne.
Oh, let me just bring up the list of character names so I don't make a complete fucking hames of it. Yeah, okay, Fruits Basket. So, I'm trying to remember what the opening bit is. I think it's just Toru at home going like, oh, I'm taking Tuesday or whatever off, if that's cool with everyone. And God damn it, I've forgotten all their names. Where is the Soma family members? I'm just going to call them by the wrong names. I apologize, everyone. The dog guy is kind of saying, is like, oh yeah, I'll be off that day as well. But she's like, yeah, I'm going to visit my mother's grave, with my friends. And obviously our rat boy kind of was like, oh fuck, I'll go with you too. And the cat guy doesn't want to admit that he wants to go for emotional support and everything. But, yeah, it's her friends kind of talking about how it's been a year since her mother died, and they don't think they'd be in the same kind of condition if someone close to them like Toru died. They don't think they'd be able to smile that much a year later. So it's just like going like, yeah, she's really fucking taking way too much on. So they got to support her where they can. But they go to the graveyard. Toru's pretty happy. They have all her old friends and her new friends there. They have a picnic, which is kind of bizarre, but that it's pointed out that it's kind of bizarre. I did like the kind of thing of her one friend being like super goth, and the cat guy saying, it's like, you can see ghosts, right? And it's like, no, I can't see ghosts. I can sense people's waves, and you're giving me some vibes that this graveyard's freaking you out kind of thing. So obviously some more tragedy. Talking about there, you also have the constantly talking about her mother being in a biker gang, which, man, I want to see that show. Not that there hasn't been enough of those kind of things. Yeah, so it's kind of like a lot of dealing with that. It also deals with the, God damn it, why can't I remember anyone's freaking name? The rabbit kid, where he's talking to Toru about, you know, his mom, and talking about his little sister and how he loves him so much. And Toru's like, oh, that's great. They're coming to pick him up and everything. But when he meets his mom and sister, they don't know him because they had their memories wiped because his mother was so freaked out after giving birth to a rabbit that she went a bit crazy. And so he had to be wiped out of her memory so that she could live like a normal life. And he's kind of like taking it on himself, similar to Toru, that I'm not going to forget anyone painful, because if I can hang on to the painful memories, I'll be able to I can see myself one day being able to live despite of them and look back at them maybe one day as happy memories. And Toru is kind of like in the same place, where the painful things are still worth hanging on to. Just a lot of like fucking emotional trauma. Quite good stuff again, as usual.
Excellent. Then we've got Fire Force Episode 1, Shinra Kusakabe enlists. Hey, his name's in the title. We can at least remember that one day.
Hopefully.
So the other, well, not the other, because there's a third as well, but another a debuting show, which looks really great.
Yeah, it's really starting off to be a very good season.
It is. I would say this story wise is a lot weaker than Dr. Stone, though.
Like, Dr. Stone covers a lot, and yet is still a very, two character driven piece. I mean, like the girl in Dr. Stone also gets a little bit of characterization, which was nice because I thought she was just going to be love interest, but I did like the thing of your man taking the petrified bird to the doctor, and then she gives out to him, and then because she was doing exactly the same thing. It kind of like, oh, okay, so you get to know her personally, and you get to know these two characters, not so much why they're friends, but you get their relationship to some extent. But in this one, it's more so, we have a lot of world building to do, and we got to do it quick.
So Shinra is a third generation,
pyrokinetic,
because apparently spontaneous human combustion has been occurring quite regularly.
It's a big problem.
Past decades, yeah, in this world. And the first generations go berserk and become infernals, which requires...
Which are like fire zombies, I suppose you'd say?
Yes. It requires a special division of the fire department to deal with them, get rid of them, and then the real fire department come in and actually put out any fires that they've caused. This disaffected youth whose nickname was Devil. He was like raised in a young offenders institute or something, almost, I think.
Like basically like some sort of harsher version of an orphanage, certainly, yeah. because his mother and sister died in a fire that everyone assumes he did. Sorry, I thought it was a sister. His little brother died in a fire that everyone assumes he did because they knew he was pyrokinetic. And because he has that weird, creepy smile, which he explains as like, oh, that's a fairly reasonable explanation for that, actually.
Yes, because I can't make a real smile anymore.
And the idea that he, when he gets nervous or panics or whatever, he gets a big nervous smile, which is just a huge grin with his very sharp teeth.
And yeah, the reason he wants to do this is he says it's because he wants to be a hero, but we kind of put together through the flashbacks is he's trying to track down the creature he saw in the fire that started the fire that he got accused of.
But it's also if he can prevent people from getting killed in a fire similar to his family, if he can ease the suffering of people who have turned into these creatures, it's kind of like, yeah, there's a bunch of catharsis in the job itself.
Because
for him,
everybody else is such a cliche, it's clear that the little brother isn't dead because they never found a body.
The little brother had white hair, come on. you don't give a kid white hair without them being cool or something.
But the fact that everything else is so cliched makes you can't avoid going with saying, well, that's a cliche as well.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, dude. I'm basically looking at this like an action movie. It's just like, yeah, I see how this is going. I'll forgive the shower scene with the ladies.
The second female character is introduced completely naked.
Yeah, and that ending fucking bit, Jesus. I'll forgive the shower scene with them if, and I don't think they will, but it would be like total fucking wash for me. You'd be good if they did some beefcake fucking thing. You gotta play both sides if you're gonna do one, you know?
Yeah,
that's the only fair way, I think.
Yeah, it feels like that might be on the card, but I can't remember. Is the Soul Eater guy who did the original comic?
Hmm.
Having said that, I can't remember there ever being any
cheesecake and, I suppose that was your one who appeared naked often enough. Yeah.
Yes, the cat witch girl. But there wasn't like many full grown men in it, was there?
That guy was a zombie. That guy was death. Yeah, not too many.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One was a Frankenstein. Whereas these are like, there is like the two standard nowadays, like mentor type character designs.
Hmm.
But everyone also is completely ripped apart from Shinra.
And the nun isn't super ripped
that's
either.
That's true, yes. But
I mean like her job is the praying, not the punching of fire. But everyone else is ripped, like a firefighter basically.
Yes, yeah.
But that's also a fetish, so I'm just saying, it's like, put one of those lads in the shower and you've totally fucking redeemed yourself, Fire Force. You can get out of this clean.
Well, yes, there's that other firefighter show to come, but nobody will be picking that up because no one's picked all the other ones up.
Oh, still, Jesus.
That one will definitely give you your beefcake. Because I believe it's entirely,
I guess if you're not, you don't have to compete with the beefcake, you don't have to put it in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know why no one's picked any of them up.
Must be some weird licensing thing where they just can't.
Or it's just too close to porn that no one's gonna license it for streaming.
That is a problem sometimes, yeah, okay.
Because they all like exist in three different versions as well. Of various levels of censorship. So they have to go and fight. This is the first one he's had to go and fight. He's like, to be first, he gets us a flashback and like freezes, and they have to like say, if you're not going to be here, you can use that fear to think clearly, but don't use it to run away because we're a team. That's what these bright blue rings on our uniform mean. Then he gets knocked out, and then the one who's obviously the more grumpy of the two senior firefighters.
The guy who's like, I'm the cool tactical kind of guy with the glasses, but actually I'm fucking really like raging under the surface. Yes. Yeah.
He's like, kind of like tells him to get up, like, even though he's been knocked out. And also it's like the nuns don't have any powers and the
chief, I guess,
doesn't have any powers either. So he gets to wear cool all over metal body armor, which just seems to be like, surely you just cook.
There appears to be like glass in between the the metal mask thing from what I saw. Like, yeah. The nun is obviously wearing just a glass kind of firefighter mask. But, they all got their own equipment and shit. Like, the one who... I'm not sure what her ability specifically is. She appears to be able to part flame.
Something like that. And for some reason, fireman's hat is a witch's hat.
Which is cool. I mean, like, it's a good design, so I'll be happy enough with it. I also appreciate that, you know, we've seen all these super ripped guys and these super sexy ladies, and like, what are we going to, the uniform's going to be? It's like, ooh, they're going to be like form hugging, and it's like, no, they're fireman uniforms. Yes. They're just thick fucking coats and big pants. It's good.
Yeah, and the animation's great. The color design is even better than the animation.
Somehow, and yet the animation is that good, but I'm kind of surprised by when your man was explaining how the fucking fire zombies, I'm just going to keep calling them that, work. Like, the colors on that fucking thing were gorgeous. Just the choices for the flame color, yeah.
Some of the, like, standard fire is CG. The CG water was pretty good.
Mm. Those are two things they have to get right, and they're mostly used for, like, background stuff, but yeah, no, looks great.
Yeah, they're not using during the fight scenes,
Yes.
Yeah, that's animated.
Like, it's basically the characters are talking, and then in the background there is fire. So, yes.
Yeah, it's not like, the focus. In Inferno Cup.
What are you talking about? Those are great flame effects.
Then the end credits is just nun fetish stuff.
God, no. Jesus.
But it's also telling you something about her background.
Yeah, but you also see her butt. So, all right.
This is the thing which is on the, as good as it is, this is the one which is teetering on the balance if I haven't got time to watch everything, or something else, something better comes along this week.
I mean, like, yeah, it's generic enough that I'm like, but it's good looking enough that I'm like, yeah, okay, give me more of this, but I could easily see it getting dropped for something more compelling. Which is unfortunate because, yeah, really, really enjoyed it. Again, not as good an opening episode as Dr. Stone, but a good universe, good setup. Hopefully you get a little better at this kind of fucking thing, but I'm kind of doubting it somewhat. But yeah, seems pretty good to look at the very least.
Luckily for it, the more compelling stuff may be on Funimation, so I'd like to see it.
Right, right.
I would say that I didn't watch all of that, what about the Literary Club reading? Up about sex. Maidens in Your Savage Season. I did watch the end of the episode, and it was pretty funny, which makes me tempted to watch it, but I might wait until it's on Crunchyroll, because I'm sure it'll eventually. Because I'm guessing the deal is with High Dive and Crunchyroll, is like High Dive keep the show exclusive for so many weeks, so that people who really want to watch it will
pay the High Dive.
But then, whatever license money they get from Crunchyroll, it'll go up on Crunchyroll later.
Okay.
I mean, I'm paying for High Dive. I could watch it on High Dive. But the fact is, High Dive don't have a PS4 app, which is why.
Ease of watching, man. That's what'll get the punters in.
Mm. Exactly. Okay, next up is... let me check what the timing is on these things. So that was on July the 6th. So, technically, this is the next thing. Hakata Mentai Piri Karako-chan. Which I've now watched half an episode where you were talking about Fridge Basket because I forgot to watch it.
What is this?
So, okay, it's all about a cod row fairy called...
Is that what that was?
Piri Karako-chan, who lives in a place which is Hakata, but it isn't really Hakata.
It says that in the title, yeah.
Yeah, and she's left to look after her grandmother's cod row stand. She's going to send lots of cod row to make her happy. Her friends show up and want to play. Her friends are a lettuce and three strawberries. Or is it a cabbage? I can't remember. Some sort of green. At least the cabbage has the decency to have arms and legs. The strawberries are just three floating strawberries.
Yeah, yeah. I know they're strawberries, and I'm not too sure about the cabbage or lettuce or whatever, because one of the strawberries takes a bite out of the other one and says, I'm not sure it works on strawberries. Which I was just like, what the? That's gross.
Yes, somebody shows up wanting their usual. The strawberries try and give strawberries. And Piri Karako has to explain, no, not strawberries, we're serving cod roe. Then a posh car rolls up, butler steps out, opens the door for, as the lettuce or cabbage says, oh, it's caviar. And then caviar says, no, it's not, my name isn't caviar. It's Ocetra Sevruga von Beluga, which I thought was the best joke I've seen, but I've only seen half the episode. So what happens in the rest of it? That's where I got as far to.
He's given out, he says, commoners only eat salmon roe and fancy people should eat caviar. And Yuan says, that's bullshit. What I thought was some sort of magic bean on her head comes alive and goes like, I'll fucking show you. It grows like five times its normal size. She starts squeezing it under her arm and like covers most of the town.
I do apologize. Well, I was closer. It's pollock roe.
My bad. Yeah. Okay,
which
okay.
is a form of cod, but it is, that is. So we were both slightly off. That is the type of roe that she is the fairy of.
Right. Okay. That specific kind of fish eggs. And she sprays it all over. I don't know if it was like Tokyo Tower, but it seems like a very specific building. I don't think it's Tokyo Tower because that'd be red, wouldn't it? And they mentioned specifically that it's like, oh, the tower's gone pink. And the grandma comes back and goes like, the fuck, I leave you the shop. I say, don't just say I'll be back in 5 minutes, but you know, everyone in the town's freaked out by the amount of gross fish eggs everywhere.
She squirts out of like a giant fish egg.
It's like a bean that lives on her head, but like, yeah, that's why I thought it was a bean just from the shape of it. But yeah, it can talk. She's squeezing it and it's like spitting it out of its mouth. It's weird and gross. she sprays it on a customer's
chicken. What are you trying
on his fried chicken? Yeah, yeah. He's a bowl of ramen or something on his head. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
I assume he's probably also a fairy.
I assume he's a specific food. Whatever the hell is on his head, that seems to be the rules
and
here.
That's where they squirt it on the strawberry, and the other strawberry bites it, and they go. I don't know if it works on strawberries.
Well, you shouldn't be eating each other. You shouldn't be selling other strawberries to people. What the hell is wrong with you guys? It's weird. It's a weird show.
Anyway, I will watch it next week. I will.
If you have 4 minutes.
I have 4 minutes. that guy seems to have that big bowl on his head in the credits as well. Righty-ho. He might be... Okay, Alaska pollock's liver, roe, and milt. It might be like a different part of the thing he's squirting out.
If your man's got caviar in his head and he's got like a different kind of fish product on his head, that or a different fish egg on his head, that might be just the theme,
Righty-ho. Next up is something I have watched, which was Vinland Saga Episode 1, which dropped on a Saturday. And then on Sunday, they dropped episodes 2 and 3, but we'll save them for future weeks because there's no more episodes until the end of July.
Yeah, so might as well just parse them out and take our time with them, which I'm fine with doing after watching the first episode. I found that fairly satisfying.
Yes, it's weirdly done the opposite of what One Piece did. Mm. In that One Piece opened with, I think, what was the second chapter of the comic and then goes back to the first chapter.
To explain how we got here.
This does the same. It opens with the second chapter, but it's the chronologically, it's the other way around. But it ends up chronologically the same as how One... no, it doesn't, no. One Piece did it the other way. It ends up the same chronologically as One... It was weird, because I was like, oh, One Piece is Viking-inspired. I was thinking of Vicky the Viking, because that's also on Amazon Prime if you need even more Viking anime content. Yeah, so, but I've only read the first chapter of the comic after my haggling with, informing, Kodansha that, the state of the scans on that, Humble Bundle weren't all that hot.
They
got them corrected but I haven't even read the first chapter and I was like, the first chapter I opens with like massive amounts of action. And this happens with some action, but it's not the action I was expecting. And then it becomes a tale of local politics in the Icelandic Viking towns. Settlements is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, it gets into the, I guess, in terms of historical lore of why they're trying to eke out a living on this kind of shithole place as the way they kind of go about it. So it's like, yeah, like a lot of people are dying this winter. It's pretty fucking cold.
Also, wacky Uncle Leif Erikson's here with his tales of this land called Vinland that he once landed on.
Check it out. They gave me this cool headdress and this sweet pipe.
And it's a lot warmer than it is here.
It's lovely there. I don't know why we left. Yeah.
And we also get some more tales of him trying to go to Greenland and losing all his men.
Hmm.
Yeah,
he's thought to be a coward by the kids because he's not a good fighter, but he's apparently been through some shit.
Yeah, and there's like the question in our main character, is it Thorfinn?
Thorfinn is the kid, and then Thors is the father, yeah.
Yeah, is like the question of like, oh, because he learns that, is it Harald?
They either say Harald, but they probably say like the Norwegian, Bluetooth, the first king of Norway.
Is that the guy?
Hmm? Which?
Is Harald Bluetooth the guy?
That sounds like a thing. I think I know of the guy, and this is very bad. Besides just general osmosis of history, is I think he's one of the guys in one version of Civilization.
I'm sure, yes.
I mean, like, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, and so there's the question of, he basically said, you've got to either live under my rule.
Submit to his rule, yeah.
Leave.
Hmm.
And
so the kid can't believe that his father or his ancestors would leave, because he considers this guy who's not really great in a fight, kind of a coward, but it's the idea of like living up to principles. And the father is something where the daughter was kind of like doing that thing, and I'm like, fucking in the state of anime these days, it's like, hey dad, how come we can't get a slave do all the hard work for us? And the dad's like, no, we're not doing that. And but based on what happens later on, you can see living by your principles is more important to him.
Harald Fairhair is apparently who this fella is.
Not a very threatening name, but all right.
And this kind of him looking up to his father, he's like, I looked up to my father as being this great warrior, and
I'm pissed off that opening bit with him was, yeah, you can, that is true.
That is true, but yeah, it's the question of like, did we run away? And now here he is helping slaves. I really like the big sisters. She feels like the most anime part of it, but also quite a good, like, also the most modern characterization. They're like, dad!
She feels very like a teenager.
Yes,
yeah.
Don't give him all the sheep.
She's weeping over the slave who died shortly after, because he died after them spending so many sheep buying him, whereas the dad wanted, obviously, him to die free.
Yes.
Again, your principles being different.
Yeah, yeah. And we're interested to, what's the guy's name? Another guy who begins with H.
Oh, fuck. The guy who's like, the only jewelry that looks good on a person is a chain around their neck.
Half
like that. Yeah.
The Iron
Who's from the tribe on the opposite side of the island. They have some sort of peace agreement, so there's a tentative thing. One kid's like, hey, fuck you, Harthan. And a guy's like, hey, you're that fucking kid who chopped off my arm. He's like, I chopped off your arm because you chopped off my brother's leg. So there's some bad blood between these people. Yeah.
And then ominously at the end, we see, I can't remember if they said it. And if they said it, I'm not sure I'd paid attention as to how to pronounce it. Is it Jom's Vikings? J-O-M-S.
I don't think they said it, so yeah. I think you're okay there, yeah. It's probably Yom yeah. or something like that, yeah.
They appear to be heading Thor's way.
Hmm.
He thought he was out, but they're going to drag him back.
Like, I generally don't go for, like, the brutal kind of, like, I'm going for historical realism kind of thing. I mean, like, how realistic is it wrapping a chain around someone's head to whip away most of their fucking face? But I quite enjoyed this. It felt everything felt kind of visceral, even the dad fighting on the ships earlier.
Well, yeah, because I the fact you get like his humanity comes through even as he's killing all these dudes, because
yeah,
he's like the guy who fights underwater. He lets die with his sword. He doesn't take the sword. He just lets it drop.
You can see like him getting distracted in the middle of combat, thinking about his family and his wife. And then when another guy apologizes, presumably to his wife, when the father's just killed him, he's kind of like, yeah, you can see him going like, I fucking hate this, man. This sucks.
Carrying on from Dororo, we get the reminder that arrows are really dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
Except to Thor's, because he just takes one in the shoulder. He carries on.
Well, I mean, like, he's presumably wearing, like, chainmail or something under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other guys are taking them in the head and neck.
I mean, like, even when you're wearing a helmet, if you get it in the fleshy part, that's pretty bad.
And then Thor's has got a much bigger neck to hit. But yeah, it also looks really great. There's like bits of CG, but
for group shots or like a bunch of guys
or
rowing.
Like a door.
Yes, yeah. I don't mind, man. I thought it was like all background CG stuff, yes, and I was like, oh, that. Whenever I saw it, I was like, that works. Wait, quite that, that's a good place to use it
because there's so much detail in the characters.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually very well animated. Yes. Other than that, in the guys that you're supposed to be focusing on.
Yeah, not sure I've seen that many muscles on a cow before in an anime.
Holy shit, that was a ripped-ass cow. And again, this is like, well, they clearly wanted attention to detail because they sure did animate that milking scene. this one's a fairly solid one. I don't see it failing much. Like, again, it was the thing of, I haven't read the book, but I've seen a lot of shots from and everything, fucking gorgeous artwork, and it's can the show even come close to that in terms of animation, and seems to be doing a good job so far.
Yeah bang up job. We briefly get in that fight scene Akio Otsuka as the other Viking
who doesn't pick up a shield. He picks up like a corpse to fucking block the arrows.
Yeah,
kind of thing,
that guy, I think, guy with the big mop of ginger hair.
Hmm.
Yeah. Righty-ho. Next up, Thorkell, I think his name is. Oh, blonde. A big mop of blonde hair. Just, yeah. Which would make more sense. There's probably going to be a lot of blonde people in this show.
I mean, yeah. Sure. The main character seems to be anyway, so
yes.
Why not?
Well, so there's going to be a lot of people from Denmark in this show, so that's fine. Then we've got, it's time for all the Toei stuff. So, One Piece, episode 892, The Land of Wano, to the samurai country where the cherry blossoms flutter, in which the Wano arc starts a proper, no more flashbacks, new opening which must have been made about a month ago because it spoils stuff in the manga from up to about a month ago. Like,
oh,
really?
Okay.
Fucking massive spoilers.
Okay, jeez. Oh, shit! No, I did see the opening. I know exactly what the fuck you're talking about. I don't even want to fucking say it, because I was going to say, like, don't present him like that. Present him like that partway through the season.
But it gives you an idea of when they animated it, though.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
that scene is really recent.
Obviously, it's a very, like, powerful scene and emotionally relevant and all that kind of jazz, but it's like, don't fucking show him like that.
But
yeah.
I assume most people are reading the comic anyway.
I mean, the numbers don't fucking lie, I guess. Yeah, a lot of people are reading that shit.
So it sets up, we get the, like, the rundown of, you've got to blend in, says Kinemon, looking more and more like a Monkey Punch character than he's ever done before in the new animation style. To all the straw hats who went with him, it's basically setting up what they're all doing. So you've got Frankie working as a carpenter, working for the guy who fixes all the doors that have mysteriously been fixed in the comic. You've got Usopp under a fake beard working as a toad oil salesman.
A liar. Okay, cool.
We've got Robin trying to learn how to become the top geisha so she can get close to the shogun. And that seems really good because the old lady who's training her, what's the stringed instrument called? The guitar type.
Is it a biwa or?
I can't remember.
Is that the one that you
anyway,
tap?
She plays it like a rock guitar. It's great. Which is obviously comes across in the comic.
Man, I'm going to have to catch up. Since it's the new season, or not new season, but the new style and everything, yeah.
And meanwhile, Zorro is just drinking, wandering around, getting accused of murder.
He's been a Ronin. Perfect. Fucking sorted. Great disguise.
the bulk of the episode is the kangaroo court where the noble is trying to get Zorro to commit seppuku to take responsibility for the murders that he's been doing.
Yeah, so like everyone else in this country is so browbeaten that they'd be like, well, I guess I do have to kill myself. But you're saying this is Zorro, and he's just like, wait, so why should I kill myself?
Well, he doesn't really understand what's being asked of him in the first place when he's handling this blade. He's basically saying, well, this hasn't got a handle on it.
It hasn't got a handguard, yeah. And your man's like, it doesn't need one, dude. It just has to stab you. And he's like, all right.
And the other thing, I had not realized who it is playing the music instrument in this scene. And I was like, oh no, stuff much later on makes much more sense. I won't say who it is because if you're watching the anime, you don't know who it is. But if you're reading the comic, I can't remember if it was clear that I was just a stupid person or had forgotten that she was in this scene. I was like, oh, she's in this scene. Everything makes much more sense later on. Anyway, yes, basically, pay attention to the person who's playing the musical instrument in Zorro's scene. Sorry, Zorro Juro.
They all have their very bad fake names, yeah. and Sanji's running a ramen, or is it ramen, or?
No, Sanji's not here yet.
Sanji's come with the rest of them, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is just, this is all the people who went with Kinemon.
Yeah.
I think we just see Kinemon and Raizo and what's the other guy, the one who can't draw?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I can't think of his name.
I don't think we see the dog guy with them, but he is with them.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know, we still don't know where they've hidden Zoo, because they came on Zoo, didn't they? So somewhere there's a giant elephant hidden off.
Well, I mean, like it's up a waterfall, the Wano, so they could probably just park him below Wano, right?
Yeah, I guess, maybe.
Mm.
The guy like, oh, you got this sword, this is one of our national treasures, you're too young to have been the guy who stole it.
And he clearly robbed the grave,
We know differently because he got it off the zombie.
Well, I mean, he did rob it off the corpse, so they're technically correct. Yeah.
But no, he just uses the tiny little seppuku blade to kill the noble and then get his swords back, kill massive amounts of guards who are just doing their job.
Keeping his head down.
And we end with Luffy being woken up by a crab. And then he hears fighting off in the woods nearby. And we go, wonder what that is. And then we see the next episode preview and we see exactly what it is.
We're still doing that, huh?
Now the interesting thing, what they do, obviously the animation style is different. They've got it's kind of got that like more sort of, I don't know if it's the same filter they're using on Tiger Mask. I don't think it's exactly the same, but it's a similar
style. I mean, it's the same thing that was used in Tiger Mask and was used in, Megalobox, we've seen this a bunch of times now. I'm not sick of it. I actually quite like the style.
So there's lots of great action. But the other thing is there's lots of there's lots of kabuki-like pauses, which I think is the thing they're going to do.
So it's framing it differently, yeah?
Yes. And there's also, there's like subtle bits of animation, where like a guy is, because when the noble's looking at him, his eyes move to Zorro first and then the rest of his head follows. It's like just little bits of acting animation, which have sorely been missed.
Oh, that sounds really nice because I did like in the comic where they were framing it like theater as well. So to actually have that in the anime direction is really interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, not quite as obvious as some of the comic things, but yeah, just like the pauses and like the freezes on people's expressions, just to give it that kabuki thing without like drawing attention to the like the. It's not like the guy out of CP9.
Where he's just like a fucking parody of it. Yes, yeah, sure.
Yeah. The only one who we know has got a mother. as revealed in the SBSs. and if you want, I'd forgot what Zoro sounded like. And if you're a Zoro fan, then,
it's been a while,
your
right?
Your patience is rewarded this episode.
Mm.
Next up. I've also got Rio Solga, episode 16, The Wish That Sunk Into the Sea. In which, Oto, which I did pick up last time, is that, Oto, so she's Oto Hime from the myth.
Okay.
So she's visiting our heroes, and, the cold open is that, I can't remember the guys, the new general has figured out their weakness. I can't remember how he uses the weakness at the end, because that's not really the points of the plot. The points of the plot is, basically, we learn from Oto that what they've always been taught is that after the Druidons fled the Earth, basically a bunch of the Ryu tribe decided they kind of liked fighting, and they were planning on conquering Earth themselves. And that's how the split between the land and the water Ryu tribe occurred.
Hmm.
But she's like, oh, you guys seem nice. And Kanata's like, he's like, umming and ahhing. There's a little bit where he's like, he's clearly noticing that Oto's got a crush on Melt. And he's just like fuming in the background of those scenes where Melt's completely oblivious. And so they think they've beaten the general when he fights, but it was all a trap. He grows and becomes more powerful, and they have to get Mosa Rex in to help. And he said, I'll take responsibility if they turn on us, but you gotta trust me. They're not as bad as you think they are. And, they fight the bad guy. They blow him underwater using Mosa Rex. Mosa Rex's robot form is great. It's a great bit of design. So he's like one of those big, like, crocodile type dinosaur things.
I think it's just Mosasaur or something like that. Yeah.
So the mouth opens and the head comes out through the mouth. So it's like the shoulders are either side of the jaw. It's a really good design.
Hmm.
And so basically, like, Mosa's like, yeah, he's basically giving them a trial period to prove that they're not what he thinks the Rio tribe are like. And then it ends with Oto asking Melt if he'll help her make descendants. And they're like, you're a child, stop asking this person to marry you. And then she's like, but I'm 123 years old. It's all played for comedy, thankfully. Otherwise it would be super creepy.
Right.
Because it's being played by a child.
Mm.
And that's the end. So we've now got our Gold Ranger firmly ensconced in the team. As long as they don't do anything bad to upset the dinosaur. Now the curious thing is that when they were having the explanation of the schism, green and the black rangers weren't there. And there's that story thing, there's the story element they introduced early on, is they're trying to find their master. I wonder if their master is one of the guys who wanted to conquer the Earth. And so maybe if they'd heard that, they would have had a different side of the story to put forward.
Right.
And also, there's the fact that it's not brought up, is that one of their tribe was the Prime Minister of Japan up to a few episodes ago.
They haven't dropped the thread, they're just like not mentioning it because of not relevance, is it?
Well, they don't mention it, but it kind of would be relevant in terms of giving you the idea that, oh, hang on, yes, maybe some of the land Ryu tribe do want to conquer the Earth.
Well, if you're being the president, yeah,
yes,
sure.
If you're the prime minister of a country, that's one step of the way.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, I think, I don't think they bring it up, but I think it's just leaving that in the background to give you the idea that, because there's obviously something going on. There's something going on with the mysterious cloaked man we saw early on, who may or may not be Yui's dad. There's something going on with Yui's dad for sure, because why was he researching the Dinonites? Why does he know where they all are? When he's just a human. And there's something going on with the green and the black guy, Ranger's master, who's gone missing. And there's something going on with the malevolent suit of armor and whoever's inside that. Anyway, this was a fun episode, and I continue to enjoy this Sentai show more than a lot of them.
Mm.
Next week, another dinosaur. It's time for another dinosaur to show up. Oh, it looks like it's another alligator type dinosaur, but I think this one might be a land one.
Oh, like a Spinosaurus or something.
I believe
like that,
so
isn't it?
Because it says Spino Thunder.
Yeah, you got to get the big ones out of the way. I'm looking at this Mosa Rex design. I thought you meant like the mouth open that the jaw was on his belly and the top of his head. I like the left and right of it. Yeah, that's a really nice design.
It is. I'll make the most of it for the couple of episodes we'll see it in before it combines with somebody else.
Oh, I can see the fucking little Lego pegs in it, so yeah.
You always got like a couple of episodes and then it'll have to combine with something else. Yep. That is that. And then finally, Gegege no Kitaro, episode 63, The Star Festival of Love, The Yokai Flower. In which Wally Wall falls in love. And it's not as creepy as normally when he falls in love, but it is kind of still a bit like, oh, a woman was nice to me, I'm instantly in love with her.
Yeah, I was kind of getting that vibes off. It was like, don't show the fact that she showed you a little bit of sympathy means that she fancies you, kind of, dude. It's not the same thing. I mean, like, by the end, maybe, because, you know, he protects her and shit, but it's still... He's making a lot of jumps, basically.
Yeah, so what's the festival where you put your wishes on that?
Star, it's something like Star Festival, Star...
Yeah, that's the translation, something. Obviously, yeah. Yeah, she appears during this festival, this bamboo spirit, and she's trying to chase away Nozomi Otoko's latest plan to cut this all down.
What are you talking about? He totally called in Kitaro because this spirit's like been fucking with people. She's always been monstrous, right, local guy? See, local guy's with me. Like he could look more suspicious.
Deliberately climbs in a hole to make it look like he's...
Yeah, when that kind of thing, I was like, why didn't you just like smack him with a length of bamboo? Because like, you know, there's a bamboo spirit with bamboo powers. Like, look, Kitaro, she made him fall in a hole. What, she dug a pitfall trap. That seems a bit unlikely.
Yeah. And, yeah, I was like, blimey, this is like unbridled unpleasantness from Nozomi Otoko.
Yeah.
The actual villain of the piece is a goddamn Tanaki.
It's technically Wally Wall's, it's all his fault. But I mean, like, if Kitaro wasn't called in, he wouldn't have come along anyway, so, yeah. It's Nozomi Otoko's fault. In the beginning, I guess.
Yes.
Cause this Tanuki was good, like, you know, he was under wraps. Yeah. Wasn't really much of a seal, it was just a big ass boulder in his fucking way. That'll do it sometimes.
Was he looking for buried gold?
Yeah, like Nozomi Otoko was on the run from loan sharks. And he hid out in a bamboo forest, and he happened to come across a cave where the rock was in front of it. Your man's like, I'll give you buried gold. And Nozomi Otoko was like, all right, I'll fucking invent a whole goddamn scheme to fuck over a completely innocent yokai to get you out of here. But then obviously there's no gold. His entire deal is just wanting to get revenge on the bamboo spirit who imprisoned him. He was the local spirit that messed with the humans. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, that's where, because that was mentioned earlier in the thing. Yes.
Mm.
And so, yeah, then it becomes the usual. we gotta beat him up, but he's got like a mysterious cloud that Kira gets trapped in, and
that'll eat you or something, is the way he's putting it. And he can separate it into two parts, so one part of cloud can go blow up the bamboo forest, and the other part can stay here and fight Kidero.
By banging his drum.
Yeah. So the Kachik and Rolocloth figure out that it's like, oh, we just gotta get his drum, and then he's fucked.
And meanwhile, Wally Wall's protecting the...
Just by standing in front of the lightning that's coming out of the clouds, but I mean, like, getting messed up in the process, obviously.
And they think she's dead because of the bamboo's been destroyed, but they find a little...
A chute, I suppose. Chute, yeah.
Yes, so she will be back, and so therefore...
It's a cycle thing. It's like she says she only comes out like once a year anyway, so this is probably what would have happened, just with less explosion and damage taken, yeah.
So Wally Wall plasters himself up and gets a bow tie ready to see her again next year. And then basically falls on top of Nezumi Otoko at the end.
Because, yeah, him showing up then is like, hey, Kidero, have you got any food in the fridge? Kind of thing. You know, it's like, dude, do you not remember what you just did? Obviously not.
No. Goddamn scoundrels. the fight at the end has got some really nice animation. The rest of it feels a little off model for the show.
Yes, very much so. I was like, it's so off model. I was surprised at the fight in the end. I was like, oh fuck, it really kicked up here where Negabatsume was doing all her stuff.
Yeah, apparently Ashimagari means leg bender.
Leg bender?
Yes.
I don't understand that relevance, but all right.
it has its own separate... Okay, yes. Well, apparently it's not a... It's a different sort of thing than what he appears to be here.
Oh, he's not straight up a tanuki. He's just some...
Yeah, I think it's an entirely different thing from its...
Oh, remember, like, the last day we... Not the last day, but a while back, we thought that kid... I think he was an otter. We thought he was a tanuki as well.
Yes. I think this guy is... It is a tanuki from the wiki page and from his appearance. But no, apparently according to Wikipedia, Ashimagari is a ghostly phenomenon from the folklore of Kagawa Prefecture in Shikoku, Japan. It is a soft thing, like a kitten or a wad of cotton, that is felt wrapping itself around a person's leg at night, impeding the ability to walk. So, a kitten.
Once there was a cat and it gave me a fright. Therefore, yokai.
Yes. I believe that's a lot of yokai.
A thing spooked me, and I assume it's monsters.
Yeah, I'm definitely not scared of a cat, so it must have been a monster.
It's funny when you hear like the explanation of what this mysterious phenomenon is. It's like, well, that's very easily explainable. Why did you need to make up a whole mythos around it? Gets the tourists in, I guess.
I was going to say drunks and cowards.
Yeah, yeah. Or tellers of tall tales, to be kind to them, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Righty-ho, that was everything from this week. Next week, I'm not sure there's anything else. There's something I want to see, but it's on Funimation, so...
I thought there was some new things starting this week, but maybe I'm wrong
there. There are loose things, but let's have a look. Let me go to livechart.me. Summer 2019. So we're starting from Monday the 8th to Sunday the 14th. Okay. Oh, Business Fish didn't show up anywhere, did it?
So
there's the new Nobunaga show.
God, I can't keep track of it, this road.
That's on Funimation, so I'm not going to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Copcraft, that's also on Funimation. That was the other thing. I was like, Copcraft and BEM, is that enough to get me to... But I was like, I'm already... All the things we watched this week is already plenty.
Yeah, that's the thing.
There's a bunch of isekai stuff that we haven't got to yet. Yeah, I'm not sure. There's like a Boys Love music anime. There's a... Oh, that rugby anime doesn't start until July the 30th anyway. And also... Well, at least the image now has them with rugby balls in it, so...
So they've got the balls. They can play the game.
They've got the balls. They've got themselves 3 weeks before they kick off. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure there's anything else that there's something I want to watch, but if you, I don't have Funimation.
Either Funimation or hasn't been picked up, yeah.
I may be tempted by Do You Love Your Mum and her two hit multiple target attacks. If it shows up on Crunchyroll.
Which is that a short again or?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a blooming Isekai live, a light novel. It'll probably be terrible, but I am curious based on its ridiculous name.
Yeah, sure. That's how they get you.
Yeah, and it is supposed to be a parody. But having said that, I've never really checked anything out. Do I know enough of it to get the parody jokes?
Right. If you're not getting the reference, you might be getting the joke.
There's a comedy thing. Oh, that is on High Dive. The Demon Girl Next Door. That is based on a gag thing, so I might check that out as well.
Okay.
That is in 1 day and 19 hours time, apparently.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think there's going to be risk of too much more. I mean, I would like to check out BM and Copcraft, but I could probably wait. And by the time I've waited, there'll be something else to watch.
Yeah, the slots always fill up.
Yeah, and I mean, Fire Force is the only thing which is wavering for me. Everything else.
I mean, like, that's fairly fucking strong when that's the only thing where you're like, I could live without it. And it's like, but it's really good looking.
I was going to say, yeah, what is the chance there is anything better than Fire Force to replace it?
That's the thing, yeah. Unless it does something fairly bad with the freaking the woman firefighter and the nun, which I mean, like based off that ending, I'm like, I can see it doing, but I can't really see much of it. Much it could do to put me off, besides something else coming in and taking its place.
Giddy up, righty ho. That is everything for this week. Be back here next week for Let's Go. Of course, there is the thing we head out of a JoJo's to watch next week, or we've got a Vinland Saga. Might be able to squeeze something else in because I'm not watching JoJo's next week.
We'll squeeze in something else which won't replace it in my heart, but just because we'll have the time to, yeah, sure.
Rightio, so be back here next week for an episode of Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime. And be back here in 3 weeks' time for another episode of Let's Go JoJo.
Oh dear.
The last for the time being.
For a while, but hopefully not too long.
Hopefully not too long, yes. And yeah. I was thinking, are they just gonna do Stone Ocean and not do part 7? Because part 8 hasn't finished yet. That's the risk.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about, because I really do like part 7.
Wait, you're saying they won't do Steel Bar Run? Wait, well, no, that's part 6.
There's definitely the opportunity not to do...
I know, you can skip it, but it sounds fucking class.
I know, that's the thing. Yeah, but I can see them being tempted to say, oh, well, that's the end of that story. We can wrap things up. And if JoJo line's not been finished, it's like...
Yeah.
We shall see. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed we get all the JoJo's.
If we don't get the anime about a horse race to collect the parts of the body of Christ, I'm fucking missing out on a big deal.
Exactly.
Oh my god. I gotta see that with my eyeballs.
Rightio, we'll be back here next week with more Let's Go.